Off the Ball, GAA.
There's no one that can tell me that this isn't like one of their greatest All-Ireland championships.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The League of Ireland pod
on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00. Get the facts. Be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
You are very welcome to another League of Ireland pod. Stephen Doyle with you again this week. I think Nathan Murphy might be back next week. He is back in the country and maybe just taking a bit of a rest after the Irish Open. I jest, he is presenting the show this week. So the League of Ireland pod and Off the Ball is brought to you by Rockshore 00. Refreshingly alcohol-free. Always be drink aware. Get the facts and visit drinkaware.ie. It's another big week of European football for the Premier Division clubs as Bradley's boys enter the fray. And could we see Ole Gunnar Solskjaer rocking up at Richmond? Four top flight sides will be out of the cup next month and we'll look ahead to that title eliminator up at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium this weekend. I'm delighted as ever to be joined by league-winning manager Vinnie Perth and also by Super Sub, a league-winning captain, Johnny Dunleavy. Welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Stephen. Good to be here. It's a bit of a distraction from, might be blasphemous to say it now in this podcast, but obviously exciting times in Donegal this week and a bit of a distraction away from that now in this pod.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, can I just get in there first?
All like, right, here we go.
How can you stick me on with this fella without like having... He's kept, just as well we're not studio together, like, but there's still a war between Dundalk and Cork, and that hasn't been resolved yet. Without any warning, putting Johnny Dunleavy in front of me, that's not good enough.
I was actually just looking back at some of the records there. Johnny's got obviously a league-winning medal with Cork City, two cups, and three President's Cups. When they put his head-to-head, three at the start of the season, 16, 17, 18, Cork City won all three against Dundalk. Shocking stuff from the Lily Whites there.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was just we started fast, but listen, as Vinny says, I was thinking about it before we came on here. We had some brilliant battles, unbelievable. Those years were brilliant. To be honest with you, Stephen, I give anything to go back there. They were fantastic. Some unbelievable occasions, and like a few come to mind straight away. I think it was 2014. Dundalk beat us last day of the season to win the league up in Oriel Park, and obviously, look, it didn't go our way, but genuinely, you've never seen anything like that night. The atmosphere, the excitement, the flares were going. You couldn't even see the pitch with the smoke. Like, everything on the line on one night. It was just, look, it was unbelievable. It was an unbelievable time to be involved with either club, I think. And, myself and Vinny, maybe we can smile about it now, you know?
Yeah, it's funny Johnny should mention that. Like, there was loads of nights. And not the type, like, I think the League of Ireland title race last year in particular was brilliant. It kept us all glued to our seat. It was sensational, like, and ourselves in Cork got away from everyone for a few years, but the difference was, and probably the difference that in one sense holds Shamrock Rovers back over these last 4 or 5 years, is they don't have a proper rival, like, and I don't like the word hatred, but there was hatred between the two teams, but there was a bit of respect underneath it all that you wouldn't admit it. And I think it could do it. Some, like, I think it makes you better having a proper rival that, like, you do anything, you'd stand on your own mother to go and beat somebody. And I think that's what we brought the best out of each other, them two teams. But that rivalry was proper, like, Johnny, now that he's on, might tell me who punched me in the back of the head down the tunnel in Turner's Cross that night. It wasn't him, because he'd have done it to me face.
I'll do an Arsene Wenger on it, Vinny, and say, no, I didn't see it. Do you notice you're 100% right. I think, like, there was a bit of bitterness there when it was there, but we pushed each other. It kind of meant that we pushed each other. And I'd say, actually, that's probably something that has crept into football, not alone in Ireland, but kind of everywhere. It's very rare now that you see a very sort of a bitter rivalry or a tough match or, you know, like, really, really tough tackling midfielders or bad tackles, or, you know, it's that sort of spite kind of has gone out of the game to some degree, and maybe it's a loss as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, lads, we do want to talk about all the league action that's happening this week. The commentary game and Off the Ball, it's myself and Johnny Dunleavy down in Turner's Cross this weekend. We're going to be watching Cork City against Sligo Rovers, and we'll take a good look at that game. Shells, though, of course, back in action in Europe in a few hours after we record. So maybe just from around that time as well, around that era, Vinny, might get your thoughts on their opponents tonight. Qarabağ, it's a club you know a bit about. Now, they won the Azerbaijani League, Premier League last season by 15 points. They did lose the cup final after extra time in May, the end of May. That was their last competitive game. Now, they have managed to squeeze in four friendlies this month and against really good opposition, RB Salzburg most recently, and also two against the Dutch side Twente. So do you think, is there a possibility Shells could make this a difficult tie for them because they are out of season?
There is. Like, and Qarabağ often have, what's the word for, a disappointing European campaign every so often. You know, they've had some shocking results and they've had some brilliant results over the years. I think the manager's in place a long, long time. They're the same guy that we competed against in 2019. I mean, first of all, I suppose it's very similar because Shells have to play the home game for us. So that's what happened to us. We played it in Oriel Park. We kept it there. It was a decent atmosphere that night. It's funny, and Johnny will nearly understand this. It's same as when you played. It's the nights like that, whatever I was lucky enough to win or whatever, that's great. But it's the nights you failed that you remember more, they stick with you more. And I go back to that Qarabağ game. So unfortunately, it's only a few hours' time and Joey O'Brien won't hear it. But I paid them too much respect. I listened to the wrong people. We done a scouting report. And on reflection, I gave them too much respect in Oriel Park. And we drew 1-1. It was a late Pat Hogan goal from a corner. But it was only a half time where I probably took the shackles off our team at that time. We'd an outstanding team, very capable of competing in Europe. And I blame myself on that result. And we went away, and heat over there, it's just so hard. Shells have to take a lead to have any chance. They have to take a lead in the first tie to have any chance. And it's an amazing city to go to. The lads that know it, Sean Gannon, Daniel Kelly, we know they nearly got arrested over there taking videos out in the streets and different things. But it's a really, really tough tie. And forget that Qarabağ are out of season. That just takes them back a little bit towards the pack. But they have quality footballers there. If they click, they're good enough to be in group stages of Champions League. Like, they're not far off that. So it's going to be a really difficult tie for them. And but something the players should embrace. Like, Johnny will tell you as well, another, like, whether you like it or not, you're playing Champions League football, whether other people dish that a little bit, you can if you want. So you've just got to go embrace it, and you may not get this chance again. So they've nothing to lose tonight. I hope you go for it and learn from, say, a mistake I made or different people have made over the years. So just go for it.
Yeah, well, Johnny, like, you, because Cork City played Legia Warsaw, of course, back in 2018, wasn't it? And he's got done by a really late wonder goal in that first leg, I think it was, at Turner's Cross. But would you kind of take on what Vinny says there and say, look, like, did Cork City show Legia much respect that night? What was your approach to that game?
Yeah, I suppose that was, I actually missed that game with a knee injury, which probably wasn't really unusual for me, to be fair. but I remember sitting there watching it, and, like, as Vinny says, these teams they're phenomenal teams. Like, their budgets are so much bigger than anything that we have here. But back then, like, we went into it similarly to Shales tonight, really, with nothing to lose. And it's just that, it's trying to find that balance. And I think that's probably the difficulty with, like, I haven't been lucky enough now to coach at any level near what Vinny has done as yet anyway. Like, but it's trying to find that balance between pragmatism and having a go. So, like, you can't win the tie tonight, but you can definitely lose it, I suppose, is another way of looking at it. But equally, if they don't go there with a lead, they're probably not going to. It's very, very difficult when you go away. So it's just trying to find that balance. And we probably, that was something that we were very aware of against Legia as well. So, look, I think the main thing that I would say, and Vinny hit the nail on the head, Shelburne have earned this opportunity. That's what they've done. They won the league last year. They're the best team in Ireland. They've earned it. So it's a reward for the players, and they should go and enjoy it. And no doubt the atmosphere in Talca Park will be insane tonight, and rightly so. So look, it'd be brilliant to see them getting a result. It's a shot to nothing, really. But if they can bring something over there, they could make it very difficult for Qarabağ.
Yeah, and look, we saw them recently enough, Johnny, myself and yourself. We did Cork City against Shells not so long ago, and Damien Duff was still in charge. Have you noticed much difference, really, in the way Joey's kind of approached management with Shelburne as opposed to Damien Duff?
suppose I haven't really myself. I probably haven't looked at it deeply enough. But like that night that we would have seen them down in Turner's Cross was probably as badly as they've played all year, really. I know we'll get on to talking about Cork later, but Cork were impressive that night. Looking back on it, it was probably as much down to how bad Shales were on the night, really. But the balance that they've struggled to find this year at times in the league is really moving from, I think I mentioned on the night, moving from being a very solid outfit last year who were difficult to beat first and foremost and then scored after that. This year, they've tried to become a more possession-based side, and that's it's a big transition. It's very, very hard to make that switch. You know, it's easy to coach a team to be defensively sound. It's a lot harder to coach them to attack. So that's probably been the difficulty. But I think Joey's probably given them a little bit of a new lease of life, a little bit of more freedom maybe. And hopefully we'll see that in Talker Park tonight as well.
A big one tonight is, and this might make sense to a lot of people, Steve-O, because Meepo done so well against Linfield. But it might be a case where you're not going to have lots of the ball tonight, where Boydie gets you up the pitch a little bit better. And people will go, well, that makes no sense because Meepo's just done really well. Because there's only a kick of the ball between the two of them, you know, and there might be an argument, and this is what Europe throws up, different dilemmas for managers, and it's about getting that decisions right, and you live and die by them. But it might be a night where you say, well, Boydie will battle with people, he'll win free kicks.
Would you start Boyd, Vinny, would you?
Yeah, no, I'd make the argument to start him. Now, I've only seen small clips to carry back, so if I was in Joey's position, I would have watched hours and hours and hours of them. So he may say there's a little bit of space in behind one of the channels and maybe me, but the point I'm making is don't be shocked if someone like Boydie plays, and what that does is he wins free kicks against European refs won't know that every time the wind blows in Colquitt, Boydie can win you a free kick if he wants, right? So they're small little moments. He holds the ball up brilliant. He's an outstanding footballer. Great lad as well off the pitch. And because he'd be hurt, I'm not starting the last game, I would be tempted to throw someone like Boydie in over Meepo. And I understand some people say that makes no sense, but don't be shocked if that happens tonight because you've got to keep the ball.
Yeah,
and Boydie keeps the ball better than Meepo.
Yeah. Well, listen, I said we won't dwell on it too long because it will be over by the time a lot of people might listen to the podcast. But it'll be interesting to see how that goes at Talca tonight. Also at home this week are St. Patrick's Athletic. And it does seem like it's turned a bit for them, Johnny, because they were struggling for a while under Stephen. Well, most of the season, really. They just really haven't clicked. But just looking at their recent record, they've now got 5 clean sheets in a row. And that includes the 2 European matches against Hegelmann. A nice 2-0 win away from home in Lithuania last week. They then beat UCC by 8-0. And look, I know there's a big gap in standard between those two teams. But, you know, for Stephen Kenny to make a lot of changes, Chris Forrester played really well. He's just coming back from an injury still. And to get all those goals, like, they're going to be really surfing in on a huge wave of confidence into that game against Kalju from Estonia. So you kind of expect the Saints to be okay in this tie.
Yeah, I'd be hoping so, Steve-O. Like, I mean, as you say, it looks objectively like maybe Pats have turned a bit of a corner, and, you know, there's no denying that it's been a very disappointing season for them so far. Like, this team tonight, you'd say looking at it, it's got to be a good draw. I mean, they've warmed up for this game with a 6-2 win, but that was against the bottom of the league team in Estonia. So really, you'd be expecting Pats to get through. And it might just be, you know, it might just be a bit of a distraction from probably what has been a very disappointing league season. And, you know, progressing through these rounds, Stephen Kenny has been a master at it over the years. And hopefully this tie against them is no different.
Barry Bagley's clicking as well, Vinny. I think he's put in a few consistent performances now for St. Pat's in the middle. And I actually saw a Pat's fan on Twitter talking about how brilliant he was in one of those games recently. And Barry actually replied himself saying there's more to come. So he's obviously feeling a lot more confident himself now at the moment.
I don't know about that one, but we had the luxury. A lot of Irish teams have played, say, Florida and Tallinn and Levadia, Tallinn. So Stephen has been in that country as well. So we would have experienced that. We played for one of the Tallinns in 18, I think. And then obviously Dundalk, we played them in 2021. So he'd have a bit of Irish sort of experience of what that's like. So, and them ties are winnable. Rovers lost one of the Estonian sides, if I'm not mistaken. And I think over the last couple of years, and Dundalk beat them. So, and the side they play tonight haven't been in the top side, as you said. So it feels like an opportunity for Pats. The only thing, look, a bit of caution. Bagley has played really well. I think highly of him. I thought he was exceptional at Watford last year. But they've beaten some teams that they should be beating, and they weren't doing that previously. So have they turned the corner? We wait and see. We hope they have, because I think this is a winnable tie for them, and I think it's huge for League of Ireland that we continue to win these ties. So hopefully it turns for them. But I don't know. The sample size is still a little bit small now, so we'll wait and see. I mean, what a moment from Elia getting a European goal as well. Like, as players, you remember them moments. Hopefully that morphs into what Mealy does in his career. But to score European goals, absolutely huge. Players love those moments.
Jeez, they got unlucky with the draw, though, didn't they? Because the next round, they're going to be playing either Besiktas from Turkey or Shakhtar Donetsk from Ukraine. Johnny, it's not a great draw. I think a lot of us, though, are hoping it is Besiktas that get through there, because they, of course, are being managed currently by Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Might be nice to see him rocking up to Inchicore for that tie against St. Pat's.
For sure, Steve. Like, I mean, no, it doesn't get any easier for them from here. Now, that is for sure. But again, like, that's what you want. You want to test yourself against the top teams and against the top players. And when these lads stop, when they finish playing, it's playing against Besiktas that they'll be talking about. You know, it's not a game in the third round of the FA Cup or something like that. This is what you remember, and this is what you want to test yourself against. So, look, first and foremost, they need to get the job done, and then they can look forward to that tie after.
And look, Finney, Rovers, Shamrock Rovers playing their first European tie. Like, they should be getting the job done against St. Joseph's, shouldn't they? I know they gave Shell some problems last year. They only lost the tie by a goal over the two legs, but you know, Shamrock Rovers are heads and shoulders above these guys.
I think it'd be more difficult than you think in the fourth leg, but I think Rovers ultimately get through. I think we're now seeing, and I would argue this with people of power around my club in 2021, we're now seeing the benefits of this Conference League, and I think there's a chance we can get two clubs into it in the near future. Obviously, Shells will have a playoff game. It feels like a bit of luck and a draw. And it wouldn't shock me if Shells ended up in the Conference League this year. Okay, so it feels like Rovers, with a little bit of luck in the final draw, have a right chance of being in it as well. So we're getting closer to two teams being in it. And you can't underestimate the value of the seed in Shamrock Rovers have. They knock on the champions, Drew. So when you don't go to champions, Drew, you better hope your seeding is right, because you look what's just happened to Pats. The seeding is right. So what they've done over the last 4 or 5 years in Europe is standing to them now, and it's making the draws a little bit easier. So I'd love to see two our side in the Conference League. I think it's on. Obviously, it's harder for Shells because of their seeding being so low. But we've got to keep winning these. That's why it's important Pats win, Shells win these rounds. It's hugely important for the seeding. Sorry, Shells are up against in this round, but I mean winning your fourth round and building and just qualifying for Europe every year. And eventually, don't be surprised if we've got two teams in the next couple of years in a Conference League.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely feels like it's coming. I know Shells could be facing a tricky draw in the playoff round at the Conference League stage. So we'll see how that all pans out over the next few weeks. But it really is exciting times for the league at the moment in Europe. But we will turn our focus again to domestic matters and the Premier Division on Friday night. Just the three fixtures again with the European sides all in action. And as I said, myself and Johnny off to Turner's Cross on Friday night for... Well, really is an important game for the bottom two. Sligo Rovers away to Cork City. Johnny, just your views on Jerry Nash kind of generally and what he's been trying to do with the team over the last couple of weeks. It was looking good, as we said. That first half, especially against Shelburne a few weeks ago, looked really promising. But, of course, things have taken a turn for the worst over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, definitely. Like, when we were down in Turner's Cross that night, as I say, I was just so impressed with Cork and how they played on the night. And I suppose couple of things conspired against them since. They've obviously lost Daniels up front, which was, it was inevitable, really. It was kind of a marriage of convenience that I sort of subsequently found out. He's gone off to Kilmarnock. And just on the night, the partnership between himself and Shawny Maguire, you sort of thought they'll cause people problems. And now that that's gone, you know, I expected them to kick on after the break. First game back after the break, they played Bowes at home. And by all accounts, were just completely and utterly outplayed, outfought, outthought. It was a real, a sort of a tepid performance. As you say, it hasn't got better since then. And I was actually, I was in Waterford when they played Waterford, whatever it was, last Friday. And it was sort of, you know, after the game, the atmosphere, you could only really describe it as venomous. It was just, it wasn't nice. And, you know, you would have heard murmurings really at the start of the season about, say, discontentment among the fans. Probably at that point aimed more to the background or the backroom, you know, staff and people. But it's sort of turned out and it's aimed more towards the players. And it's just not nice to see. And they're in a very tough spot as it stands.
And just touch on that real quickly, Johnny. Obviously, the off-the-field stuff, everyone is talking about it. But, and I'm trying to be disrespectful over the last, or I'm trying to be respectful over the last couple of weeks. And look, you're obviously a seasoned League of Ireland player. I mean, what you play over 150 times for Cork. But there's a bit of naivety how they're playing out from the back. And you can, I know it's the modern way, but you can't go away to, in the Munster derby and give up cheap goals. You can't go to Polka Park and concede after 2 minutes. And it looks like some of that is not just down to players, it's down to a setup of the team, splitting your centre halves, rolling the ball out from goalkeeper, straight line passes. And that's a concern that they need to have a little bit more. The coaching staff a little bit more League of Ireland news about them and get over the line in them games or stay in the games longer.
Yeah, I think that's probably a very fair point. And you know, bringing in two centre backs at this stage of the season really to a large extent is just firefighting. You know, it's very hard to try and bring two lads in and you know, become all of a sudden more defensively sound. But I think you're totally right. The first goal against Waterford was a needless, unforgivable goal, really. You just can't do things like that in a derby like that. And, you know, I suppose the issues that I have around it is I would look at the recruitment overall, Vinny. Like, I would say that if you were to look at that Cork team and in certain areas of that Cork team, they're not robust enough. They're not athletic enough. They have some very good and very experienced players. But if you don't add that athleticism and robustness around that and good seasoned League of Ireland players, you're kind of on a hiding to nothing. It's really, really difficult. And like the problem that I see from now on is I don't really see them scoring enough to get them out of trouble. Yeah, I don't see them winning enough games. And look, it's bleak and I don't like talking. It's a club that means an awful lot to me and I don't like talking about them on a downer or whatever. But it's just they're in a real tough spot.
Well, Johnny, we saw them, like, you know, O'Sullivan creating chances for Maguire. Dykesdale is still there. I know they've lost Daniels. But, you know, they've got creative players there. They can create chances. If you marry that to, I suppose, when you see sometimes a manager come into a team that's struggling against relegation in any league, anywhere in the world, midway through a season, the first thing they do is, right, let's shut up shop here. Let's get the defence sorted out first. Let's stop leaking goals. And then you kind of build from there. Whereas Vinny's kind of, I suppose, alluding to the fact that they're not doing that. It's almost like Gerard Nash is trying to impose a philosophy on this team and kind of forgetting about the basics. Is that fair, do you think?
I don't know. It's tough for Jared because, as I say, he is firefighting to some extent and he's only got a third of a season now to work with. Mm. And, you know, he's bringing in really experienced lads to, you know, to sort of try and shore up that back four. But to make them gel and to get a squad to gel together, and let's not forget, the Cork squad is quite young. There's a lot of young players involved in that team as well. And unfortunately, in the League of Ireland, you don't get a chance to learn. You're not blessed with time. Time is not a luxury that you have. And I just think that, you know, it's probably something that we used to hate as players. Manager would come in after you lost and you'd hear, right lads, back to basics. But to some extent, that is exactly probably what has to happen. And they're probably going to have to find a new style, something that makes them more difficult to beat over the next few weeks. Because really and truly, every point is vital and like none more so than Friday night. If they don't take something from Friday, it really does become difficult.
And just a little thing, Vinny. Excuse me, I noticed during the Cup game, I watched the second half of their Cup match against Leicester Celtic, like they were being held up till 69th minute by an amateur team out of season and they got a penalty kick and Lutz and McLaughlin both wanted to take, and they end up having an argument on the penalty spot over who was going to take the penalty. And even after, now Lutz got to take the penalty, but I was kind of going, geez, he really needs to score this now, because if he doesn't, it looks even worse. But McLaughlin didn't even celebrate afterwards with him after he scored the goal. So, like, this kind of thing doesn't look good as well, does it?
No, that's the stuff that gets highlighted when things aren't going well. A little bit of sympathy for that, because there's probably a few changes made, and whoever, if it was a league game, it's almost, you'd like to think the lads are at the level where everybody knows who the penalty taker is before the game. Maybe the penalty taker wasn't on the pitch. And so you can have a little bit of confusion in the early rounds of the cup game. And so I get it. I get stuff like that happens, but all that disharmony only ever really shows its head when you're struggling, and they are struggling. And I think I mentioned it last week, like the second City, we need a stronger Cork in the League of Ireland. It's all set up and geared towards it. It makes no sense to me from the outside looking in going, you know, why hasn't somebody galvanised him? But it has to start on the pitch as well, a little bit, to be fair. And whatever about what was happening at the start of the season, they're only losing by the odd goal. They weren't being disgraced in games. Now they look like they're well beaten, and you sort of write them off before games. And that goes back to, if I could sum up the goal against Waterford again real quickly, that's the type of thing, if you go to watch an academy game in England, that you'll do. And if they concede that goal, the manager might go, don't worry about it, do it again, because there's nothing on at stake. But you know what? There is a lot at stake. And even if it's just pride and being keeping the sort of games alive to late them and losing by the odd goal, I think fans can accept that from young players. But the way they've given it up at the moment, it's just far too easy. And they've got to change, as in the staff, the players. And then all you don't know is, I mean, that's not going away. I accept that. I'm not trying to cover over what's going on in a boardroom level and the lack of supporters turning up for obvious reasons. So you've got to fix it all. And because once it goes toxic, it's so hard to fix it. It really is.
And Vinny, what a prize for Sligo Rovers on offer, because if they win the game, they're 11 points clear. And I'd say John Russell will be feeling pretty safe at that stage, because it's a massive gap for Cork City to make up in just the third of a season. And the thing about Sligo Rovers is as well, they're scoring goals, attacking, looking really confident. And yeah, it's just everything's going well for them. They've got momentum, which is what you need at this part of the season.
Yeah, and they put Galway under huge pressure. Obviously, we don't know how Galway are going to get on at the same time, but I'd be worried if it was Waterford and Galway with the run they're coming on. And I'd have one eye over my shoulder. So it is, but what Sligo are doing, I just hope Sligo don't do what Sligo have done a lot over the last couple of years and go and bloody lose or draw the game the other way. I'd like to see them going on a run. And sort of what I mean that is, I think it would make for a better league if they go and push Galway or Waterford to get into that playoff spot. So I'd like them to go and win, because I think we'll be forcing Cork or Dillon. So I just hope, we've seen them being consistently inconsistent over the last 2 years, Sligo. So, but it feels like their recruitment, you hear what Johnny was just talking about there in terms of Cork, but they've done the opposite. They've brought experienced League of Ireland people and people who know the trenches. And it sounds mad, little things like knowing the ground they're going to. Not a fella coming in from England going, what is this place? What's this Finn Harps place? What's this? Like, they're all small things.
They get some shock when they land in Ballybuffet.
Oh, I tell you what, those showers are still leaking. So it's small things like that where fellas know what's ahead of them. So 4 days ahead, they know they're going to the showground. They know they're going to Oriel Park or wherever the venue is, and they're prepared for it. And then in games, they know the ref, they know the players they're playing against, they know when to leave a little bit on, they know they've got to dig in for 5 minutes, they know that someone's going to burn it up for the next 10 minutes because that's what they do, but they can't do it for 90 minutes. All the little things to get them over the line. So their recruitment has been really, really strong. Plus, you had the nucleus of a good side there. And the manager has them playing really, really well. And the form and building is such a huge bonus to them. And I think they struggled because, you go back to last year, you look at Simon Power and Fitzgerald, they were a huge threat. When them two wingers were on form and the pace they had, the loss of Power was a huge loss. But they've adapted and they've done really well. And as I said, it's a huge week for Waterford and Galway. I'd be hoping for a Cork win of both of them, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, well, the fact that you mentioned Waterford, Finney, and you've just said recently enough, you were down there, Johnny. I was down there with you not so long ago, and I know you were down there last week. But just a bit of there's a bit of an inconsistency about Waterford, isn't there? Like, they've got some really talented players. They've got, maybe it is at the back that they're a little bit weak there. But I know we were very impressed by Jesse Stapleton that night. When we saw them down there, but they've also got the likes of Tommy Lonergan, who's in brilliant form, scored a couple of great goals last week as well. And we don't need to mention Pádraig Cameron, but that Waterford Galway game is an interesting one, and as well Waterford having to make the trip up to AIM and DC Park. How do you see that one going?
Yeah, very, very tough one to call. I think you're right about Waterford. They probably are inconsistent to some degree, but I heard Pádraig Cameron interviewed on Off the Ball actually only a few weeks ago. And he just mentioned how young the team is, and sort of similarly to what I was saying about Cork City, you have to learn very quickly in the League of Ireland, and probably their younger players are learning a lot as they go. They definitely have some very impressive players. Like, every time I've been down to watch them, I've been so impressed with Glenfield, so impressed with Olayinka, and that's the kind of, like, those two in your engine room in midfield, that's the kind of athleticism, the robustness that I'm talking about, that it just gives you such a platform as a team to go and play from. They fill holes, they put out fires, but they're also technically gifted, the two of them. Like, I really, really enjoy watching them. So, look, it's a very tough game to call up in Galway. Galway themselves, probably this last 6-8 weeks have been fairly disappointing. It's been tough for them. And as Vinny says, all of a sudden, Sligo are looking up and the lads are looking over their shoulders. And, John and Ollie in Galway will be more than aware of that. I'm sure they'll have the lads very much ready to go on Friday night. So it's a tough game to call, but maybe Galway just might get over the line against the younger Waterford team.
Yeah, it's kind of important for both sides to win that match. Vinny, Waterford are just 7 clear of Sligo Rovers. So if they were to lose, Sligo were to win, they'd just be 4 points between them. And of course, if Galway were to lose and Sligo to win, there'd be just 3 points between those two. So it's like it's a kind of a must win, really, for Galway and Waterford.
Yeah, it is. I think they'll over the next couple of weeks, I think both of them teams, it wouldn't shock you if they beat anybody on the day, Galway and Waterford, or that type of teams. So we probably expect them to win, say, 2 games in a row, and then maybe lose 3 and then win 2. And sometimes that will be enough because of the buffer they have. But we're all presuming, we had this sort of argument with Gareth, I think, last week or the week before. We're all presuming this Galway team are going to be grand. And that's a really dangerous situation to get into, because they'll be grand and they'll eventually win. And well, I still sort of believe that. And when you go down there, when they can make it ugly for you in Terryland Park when they need it to make it ugly, and they get over the line in the next few weeks. But the longer Sligo keep doing what they're doing, and the longer Galway go without, picking up wins, then you would be a little bit concerned for them. And they've got to get a couple of wins over the next few weeks just to give them that buffer back. But because go back to their last league game was Bowes, if I'm not mistaken, and they were well beaten that night, weren't they?
Yeah.
A little bit like, you don't expect Galway to be turned over that easy. Like, you can beat Galway, don't get me wrong. You can, over the years, or any John or all these teams, you can beat them. But you always know you've been in a battle. And I think Bowes won that game quite comfortably at the end on the night,
Yeah, because there wasn't much between them in the first half, and then the second half was just Bowes, really. They just obliterated them. And I suppose John Caulfield told me after the game that, a couple of the players that he brought in were, kind of in between seasons, so it was hard for them to get up to the pace of it. And, that's a bit of a concern as well, Johnny. But, like, John Caulfield well. How do you think he'll be handling a situation like this?
I suppose between himself and Ollie, they've been through it all before, Stephen. It's nothing new to them. They've seen all these situations before. And I suppose very much like what Vinny was saying earlier, this will be a back-to-basics sort of a thing where Galway will be first and foremost saying, right, lads, we're going to make ourselves very, very hard to beat again. They wouldn't have been one bit happy with that result against Bowes, that's for sure. And I'm sure the lads heard all about it on Monday and Tuesday, I can guarantee you that. So it'll be about right and wrong, I suppose, on Friday in terms of how solid they are, first of all, and then trying to go and win the game from there. But I suppose both teams are in danger of looking over their shoulder being one thing, but also the season sort of petering out as well. Like you could all of a sudden end up in limbo where you've got nothing to play for 6 or 7 or 8 games, and that's, you know, that's not where you want to be either. So it probably is a mass. I think all three games this weekend really, in different ways, are pivotal for all teams. Like,
yeah, is it a title eliminator up there, Ryan McBride, Brandywell, Vinny? Is it the side that loses doesn't have any chance to win the title from here?
Well, I suppose the answer to that is yes, but is there really a title race? And that's the question.
So, very philosophical, Vinny. Very philosophical.
You know, I mean, you want me to say it's a title eliminator to build the game up. But
yeah, come on, we're giving it to Sky Sports here, you know.
Yeah, but the like Derry's result against Sligo in the last league games, it was predictable for many of us, to be honest with you. And when you go and do that, you don't get them results. I mean, we can all lose in Sligo or lose anywhere, but they just can't afford to have them type of performances. And you know, we've seen this week. Now he's not shy, Pat Hoban, but we've seen Pat Hoban's outburst, and you just think it feels like not all is settled there yet. You don't feel like you need everything. Every wheel turned in the right direction to win the league, and it doesn't feel it is there in Derry. So no matter what the result is this week, I don't think they're going to win the league. But we want whoever wins it, we want them to go on a run for the next 5-6 weeks and put Shamrock Rovers under real pressure. The team that feels most likely to do that and best equipped to do that for me is Bowles. I think they've got, it looks like the harmony in that direction. Have a look when Bowles score a goal. A great example of the one down in Cork. When they scored at the back post, can't remember who it was. It could have been Dale Rooney, I think it was. Look at the way they celebrate that goal. That to me painted a huge picture. I'm not saying Derry players aren't all in this together, but they look like they've the one with the best unity, the best togetherness. And sometimes you don't have to be the best team to put the, you know, to go after someone. You have to have everything aligned. And I feel like Bowles are much further down the line than what Derry are. So if I want the title race, I probably want Bowles to win this week.
Yeah, okay. Look, Derry City, Johnny, like it's almost like, you know, Tiernan Lynch is rebuilding the team again mid-season. Like there's been a lot of players out, a couple of players in. But like, I suppose, well, you look, he's got that strong core down the middle of the team. And Mark Connolly, especially, every time I watch Derry City, it's almost like he's leading that team by himself. But then, of course, you have the likes of Mikey Duffy up front, that bit of creativity. And Liam Boyce just banging in the goals. He he's a player who's spoken before about once he gets into a good vein of goal scoring, it's you know, they'll keep on coming. So, like, it's going to be a very tough game for Bohemians, despite the fact that they got to rest most of their frontline players for that cup game last week.
Yeah, very much so. Like, and I suppose Vinny's right in the sense that if you're gonna chase a team like Shamrock Rovers down, a team of that quality, you have to have everything going for you, everything going in the right direction. And Derry probably are still on the road to some degree. They've got some unbelievable individual players, probably a lot of the top players in the league really in their team, on their day at least. But they're just maybe not quite there in terms of getting the whole cohesion together. I'd say that's probably entirely fair. Just touch on the two lads that you talked about, like Liam Boyce, 2 hat-tricks in 3 games. It's an unbelievable run of scoring. Not totally surprising, just given his pedigree and where he's come from. And, you know, like you would have watched him back in the day playing for Northern Ireland and playing at Hearts. And the man's a goal scorer. That's just what he does. And he's, you know, it wasn't unexpected for him to do this. But I think an even bigger bear, and I would agree with you, is like Mark Connolly at centre-back. And again, this goes back to recruitment and goes back to bringing in, not alone bringing in good players, but I can guarantee you, Vinny would, you know, testify to this, is bringing in good characters as well. Mm-hmm. Big characters, good people around the place. And I can guarantee you Mark Connolly is that. We were actually in digs together at Wolves for a short space of time, and I like, great fella, brilliant player. And you know, even that guile, that experience that he brings, I remember we'd be playing games in England for the youth team, like, and he might be 1-0 up with 2 minutes to go, and Mark would be going over to pick up a ball, you know, picking it up like a Gaelic player, but he toe-poking about 30 yards away, drive all the English lads mental. So like, he's just got that bit of craft, bit of guile, and I'd say he's brilliant around the dressing room on top of being a good player. So I'm not one bit surprised he's flying up there.
Yeah.
The only other question I'd ask you, Johnny, and you obviously play at a higher level than me, is when you consider, like, Derry, there's a lot of in and outs in Derry in terms of the transfers. Obviously, from the start of the season, it's a new manager. I get that. I mean, I done the game in Derry Mount Park, and they play five different systems in the game. One or two of them is down to injuries. And it feels like the manager searching, and that can't go on forever either. Like, you've got to eventually find a way of playing that, you know, because players start second-guessing the manager and thinking, does he know what he's talking about sometimes, because he goes from one week to one system to another. The way some players have been sort of brought in and not used. So you wonder what the mentality of that dressing room is like. Because sometimes I get your point about having senior players. You need as many of them as you can, Johnny, right? But you ever in a dressing room where there's nearly too many of them, if that makes sense? Too many senior players where
you mean like too many big characters, like too many, like not necessarily egos, but just big characters in the dressing room. Yeah, it probably can be hard to gel them all together. And suppose they are blessed in a way in Derry with resources, like, you know, that's not an issue for them. So they can go and get these people. And maybe it's just a case of, as Stephen's saying, he's still trying to find it. Like, he's still trying to find that balance within the squad and what is the right way to play. And I don't know, was it ever something that you would have found where, you know, just due to injuries, like, would you have tinkered much with systems, or would you have tried to be rigid enough with what you tried to play?
Well, I suppose it was different because that Dundalk team had a certain way of playing. And it was like, you don't change something if it's not broke. You obviously had to make certain things. And but the point I made is, in air dressing rooms, there was like a hierarchy almost of, say, a third of a hierarchy. Then there was a couple in it. And then every year, you'd bring a couple of people, whether it be young players or new fellas, in. And it was almost like that cycle continued. And when I think of your core team, I can see where the leaders were in that team. I could see, you know, where they were, and I could see the quieter, the shyer ones who want to be led. And with this team, I'm probably looking at Derry thinking, got a bit of all of that going on, and the manager's chopping and changing. And as you said, sometimes having too many resources make you go, well, he's not good, I'll replace him with him. Oh, no, he's not working, I'll replace him with him. And I wonder, will that hinder him over time, as opposed to, you know, having, I don't want to name names, but having a player that's a 6 out of 10 and putting him into a great team, and all of a sudden it becomes an 8 out of 10, instead of signing that 8 out of 10, and there's another ego in your dressing room. So I wonder, I'm not saying the players are causing the manager problems, but I'm just wondering, are they all second-guessing each other a little bit too much up there? Because you've got the players to go after overs, but they haven't had the results at the moment. So it is a fascinating watch for me from the outside, you know, in terms of the mentality of the manager and the players.
Yeah, well, listen, can't wait for that game at the weekend. And of course, the other two, myself and Johnny, will be down at Turner's Cross, as I've mentioned. You can tune into Off the Ball on Friday night on News Talk to listen to that. We should be on air from around 7:30 or so. So we didn't really get to touch on the Cup. Absolutely brilliant draw, I think, fellas. We're going to lose four top flight sides. We're going to be guaranteed, I think, at least two First Division teams in there. You'd probably say Derry against Stroud is probably the pick of the ties with a replay of last year's final. And I'll be keeping an eye on your old club Finn Harps as well, Johnny Dunleavy. I saw a bit of their match against UCD. They've signed this guy from the Netherlands, Hans Mpongo, and he certainly looks like he has a bit about him. So I think he'll be worth keeping an eye on over the next couple of weeks or so. But listen, Johnny, brilliant stuff. Thanks a million. You were fantastic.
Just to be clear, Steve-O, yeah. We still hate each other, like me and Johnny.
Looking at the screen here, Steve, it's a good job you're between the two of us, that's all.
I'll just say that, just to be clear.
Listen.
Just to put it on the record, there's no love in here.
Come here, best of luck to RG Mac as well, who's he's looking after a team at the Foyle Cup there. So hopefully they manage to hang on.
Sorry, Steve, I know you're waiting. How many FEI Cups did you win, Johnny?
Two, Vinny.
All right. Pretty average, isn't it, return?
Lads, thanks a million, and thank you for listening. We'll chat to you next week.
The League of Ireland Pod
on Off the Ball,
brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00. Get the facts, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.